الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن، إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected hufaz, beloved brothers and elders, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 197, Allah makes mention of an ayat, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. Hajj is carried out in certain months of the year. The months are Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, and 10 days of Zulhijjah. Ramadan just ends and the months of Hajj commence, Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, and going on into Zulhijjah, currently being the 20th of Zulqa'dah. In a few days' time, we will be witnessing, the world will see a day which is amongst the greatest days the earth will ever see. Allah speaks about this in Quran, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. The ninth of Zulhijjah, the day of Arafah, as well as the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, extremely precious, virtuous, meritorious days. Actions that are done during these days, ibadah that's done during the night, extremely rewarding. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to exert ourselves more than we would normally do during these days and these nights, the 10 days, first 10 days of Zulhijjah. In this 10 days, one of the main actions that take place is the action of Hajj. Those who will go for Hajj, Allah says, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. Whoever in these months makes Hajj binding on himself, in other words, he makes the journey, he travels, he goes to Makkah, Mukarramah, he's going to travel to Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah. Then Allah says, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. When you are performing this great act, then keep in mind three things you need to stay away from in specific. These three are such, you need to stay away from it in every situation, every time of the year, every place of the earth, every season, Hajj or not, you have to stay away. But even more when you're going for Hajj, as an emphasis, la rafatha, there shouldn't be any intimacy. Obviously, you're going to be in a state of ihram. If a person becomes intimate with his wife at the time, it would nullify his ihram. Wala fusuq, no sins, no guna, no crime. Our aim is to get al-hajjul mabrur, an accepted, pure Hajj, a Hajj that's pure of any sin, crime, and offense. And wala jidal fil Hajj. The third thing Allah says is there should be no arguing, there should be no quarreling, no fighting whilst you're on the journey of Hajj. Now these three apply throughout a person's life. Intimacy with his wife is allowed, but any act of indecency with a strange woman, he can't engage in. No sin, no arguing, no fighting. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made mention of these three because these are three things that become a lot worse when you do it during the Hajj. Like the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, murder is bad, but murdering your own child out of fear that the child's going to eat with you is worse. Zina is bad, but making zina with the halal women of your neighbor, his wife, or his daughter, or his sister, he trusted you and you went and committed zina, that zina is a lot worse. Like this, fighting is bad, arguing is bad, committing sin is bad, indecency is bad. But if you do it during Hajj, it's even worse. So these three, we wish to speak about the last one. La jidala fil Hajj. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala specifically mentions, do not quarrel, argue and fight. The reason being, Everyone, every human, like everyone has a different fingerprint. He has a unique fingerprint. Everyone has a unique temperament as well. So when people of different temperaments meet, what happens is someone may overstep someone's mark. Someone may have certain boundaries. Someone may overstep that boundary. And this becomes an argument. It becomes a fight. Allah is saying, La jidal. Like this can happen in Hajj. It can happen whenever two humans meet. Two or more humans meet, then there's some type of disagreement. There's some type of argument. There's something that occurs that can spiral into something very worse. Allah is telling us, be careful of this fighting and quarreling. If there's something that removes all your strength and all your power, it's entirely in fighting, arguing, and bringing problems. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained the hadith according to Sahih Muslim to make us understand the severity of people getting caught up into arguments. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Mal muflisu fikum? Who's the man who's bankrupt? In other words, a man who once upon a time owned a lot. He had a lot to his credit. But now all of a sudden, he's lost everything. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum replied, Innal muflisa fina. Malla dirham lahu wa la mata'. The bankrupt man, in our terminology, is the man who has not even a single dirham. He has no coins, no cash with him. He's got no goods with him. He's absolutely bare and empty. That's a muflis. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then taught Sahaba, Innal muflisa min ummati, may ya'ti yawm al-qiyamati bi salatin wa zakatin wa siyamin. The bankrupt man is the one who'll have a lot. He'll come on the day of Qiyamah and he'll have namaz to his credit. He'll have roza and fasting to his credit. He'll have zakat and sadaqah to his credit. But وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَّبَ هَذَا. Together with all the good that he's bringing, he'll have a whole host of wrong as well. What did he do? He got caught up in arguments and fighting. And in that, he would verbally abuse someone. In that, he would accuse someone. In that, he would usurp someone's wealth. In that, he would hit someone. He would become physically abusive to someone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, what will happen to this man? He'll come with so much of good, but there'll be so many people claiming their rights. Oh Allah, this man ate my wealth. This man hurt me, he accused me, he swore me, he did all this wrong. He used to get caught up in arguments. What will happen? Decision will be passed. All the good that he brought, these people who were wronged in the world, and this man didn't make maaf, all their good now will be taken. They'll be told and instructed, take whatever good you want from the various records and the various good he's brought. And they will be loading, he brought the good. He brought the good deeds, the virtuous deeds, but it'll be given to others until all of them will be, all his good will be depleted, but there will still be people who'll be claiming. Then the wrongs that these people brought, the people who were oppressed, the people who he hurt, their wrongs will now be thrown onto him. فَطُرِحَ عَلَيْهِ سَيِّئَاتُهُمْ ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. All their evil deeds will now be loaded onto him. He entered, he walked in as a man who was as though decreed and written for Jannah because of the good deeds he brought. But now he'll be loading their bad deeds onto him, and now he'll be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. Allah save and protect every one of us. This is the evil effect of a person involving himself in arguments, involving himself in fighting, in hurting people. This is why Allah says, La jidala fil hajj. Like it's a lesson for those who are in hajj, it's a lesson for every one of us. If you can't control yourself when you are away from Hajj, then when you go into the Mubarak lands and the Mubarak time, how are you going to control yourself? We need to practice this aspect of not arguing, fighting and quarreling right from now, every day of our lives. May Allah enable us. So if this is such a major problem, what's the solution? What does Quran and Hadith, what does Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us, advocate to us, encourage us to do to save ourselves from arguing? So we'll discuss two aspects that come in Quran and that come in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are two major important tools through which you and I will save ourselves from falling into arguments. As we said earlier on, when you come into contact, two or more people come into contact with each other, the temperaments are different. The background is different. The ways, the likes and dislikes are different. One man's food is another man's poison. What one person will like, the other won't like. So there's going to be some disagreement. There's going to be something where people aren't going to always be unanimous and united on one thing. These things are going to take place. So how do we save ourselves? The first is the Quran Kareem in many places. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many ahadith has taught us that whenever you're mixing, whenever you're coming and doing anything, then take care of your tongue. Be careful of your tongue. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it so beautifully, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir." If you claim to be a believer, you believe in Allah and the day of Qiyamah, you believe in whatever Islam wants you to bring iman on, then keep two things in mind. فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوِلْ يَسْمُتْ. Say what's good or remain quiet. Say what's good or remain silent. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he's probably also gone for Hajj. إِنَّ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنَ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ anhu irtaqa as-safa. He climbs Mount Safa, the Safa Marwa that we go for. You go run between Safa and Marwa, you go move between Safa and Marwa, make the Sa'i. He ascends Mount Safa and he says a very, very important statement. He holds onto his tongue. أَقَدَ لِسَانَهُ وَقَالْ يَا لِسَانْ قُلْ خَيْرًا تَغْنَمْ وَاسْكُتْ عَنِ الشَّرِّ تَسْلَمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَنْدَمْ. He holds his tongue and he says, "Oh my tongue, say what's good and you will be able to get so much of benefit your mind won't go towards. And oh my tongue, please remain completely silent from saying anything evil." You'll be safe. If you don't do this, you'll fall into such regret that the regret won't leave you for the rest of your life. He's also on the occasion of Hajj. He's reminding himself on Mount Safa to be careful of his tongue. During the incident when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Hajj, a very striking, important incident had taken place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving Madinah Munawwara. It's around the 10th year after Hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as though hinted to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that he may not see them again. This may be his last Hajj. He leaves for the journey of Hajj, the only Hajj that Nabi alaihi wasallam performed. As he leaves, Sahaba radiallahu anhum all get ready. The Azwaj Mutahharat, they also got ready. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going for this special journey of Hajj, as we know, what we know as Hajjatul Wada', the final Hajj, the final pilgrimage. The Rasul of Allah salatu goes on the way. The Azwaj Mutahharat are all there. One of his wives was Safiya radiallahu anha. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam married her in the 7th year after Hijrah. And she obviously came from a Jewish background. Her father was the Jewish leader. And after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had conquered Khaybar, then Safiya radiallahu anha was taken captive. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered her that either if you want, I can free you and you can go and lead your life as you want, or I can take you into my marriage. She replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I wanted to be with you. I desired to be with you even before I accepted Islam. Now, after I've accepted Islam, I only want to be with you. Hence, she was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she had come from a Jewish background. When she came into Madinah Munawwara, Aisha radiallahu anha says, she was at the house of a certain Ansari, and all the women went to see who she was. I also put on a cover, veiled myself. I went to see who she was so that people don't recognize. Obviously, it is a co-wife rivalry. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made out Aisha radiallahu anha had come in. He asked Aisha radiallahu anha later on, "What did you see?" So all she said was, "I saw a Jewess. I saw a Jewess." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa corrected her and said, "Oh Aisha, she was a Jewess, but now she accepted Islam. Wa hasuna islamuha. She's a very good Muslim." Nevertheless, on the journey of Hajj, Safiya radiallahu anha had a brilliant conveyance, a very elegant one. But it so happened her conveyance had become sick and it couldn't continue. Safiya radiallahu anha was sad. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu comes to comfort her. He wipes her tears. And then he tells Zainab radiallahu anha that, "Oh Zainab, you've got extra conveyances, would you lend one to your sister, to your co-wife, Safiya radiallahu anha? So Zainab radiallahu anha, at that moment, in the heat of rivalry, she said, should I give my conveyance to that Jewess? This was a comment. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just heard the statement, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it so seriously. This is not arguing, but this is to teach us, and as well as to teach the Azwaj Mutahharat and the whole Ummah, that don't pick on someone for a quality that the person may have had at one point in his life. She was a Jewess, but now she's a Muslim. Don't attribute her to kufr or to something that she may have been doing in the past. The Nabi of Allah heard this. This was probably Zul Qa'dah, towards the end of Zul Qa'dah. They were on the way for Zul Hijjah. Zainab radiallahu anha says, for the entire journey of Hajj, Makkah Mukarramah, the Tawaf, Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was for a dini reason. He was so upset with me, he didn't speak to me for the entire journey. Hajj finished, we came back to Madinah Munawwara. The whole of Zul Hijjah passed. The whole of Muharram passed. The entire Safar passed. According to the riwayat in Musnad Ahmad, only in the month of Rabiul Awwal did the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come back and resume his relationship with Zainab radiallahu anha. To the point she felt that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam may have taken me out of my marriage, out of his marriage. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did this approximately 3 months. Why? To show you and I the importance of looking after the tongue. And this was during the journey of Hajj. Teaching us and teaching the Azwaj Mutahharat and the entire Ummah that be careful of the tongue. One statement. Allah says in the Quran, tell my servants they should say what's good. They should speak in an excellent manner. Why? Because through your small statements that you think are small, Shaitan uses that as a springboard to sow problems, to create problems between two individuals, husband, wife, whoever it is. We need to be careful to look after the tongue. One married couple came to Hakim. On the lighter side, this married couple came to the Hakim and they complained about problems in their marriage. So the Hakim, he went into his room and he looked for some medication. He gave them the medication. He told them, this is a special tea. Whenever your husband comes home from work, then both of you should take the tea, put it in your mouth, but this tea, you can't drink it ordinarily. You need to leave it in your mouth for some moments and let it settle down. It should take you about 5 to 10 minutes to finish the entire cup. They did this, and within a week, within a few weeks, they came back to the Hakim to tell him that your tea is working wonders. Could you give us more of this tea so that we can market it to others? So the Hakim said, this tea is no, it's nothing, it's no extraordinary tea. It's an ordinary tea you'll get. The psychology behind this tea was, as long as the tea is in your mouth is closed. When your mouth is closed, there's no problems. No one's going to fight. All you got to do is keep the mouth closed. Look after that tongue. When we look after the tongue, then everything will be taken care of. And the second aspect, to avoid arguments, respect the elders and friends, one is guard the tongue. Guard the tongue, make sure we say nothing evil. And the second is a unique sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a speciality of this deen of Islam is to always wear a smile. Wherever we are, wear that smile. No matter how severe your predicament is, put the smile on your face. This is something that quells a lot of arguments. Picture one incident. Imam Muslim rahimahullah has recorded the hadith. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I was walking with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion. And on the Rasul of Allah wa alayhi burdun najraniyun, he was wearing a garment or a shawl which had come from Najran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was moving, all of a sudden when a villager, a Bedouin came, and he doesn't ask, he doesn't speak, he doesn't politely approach the Rasul of Allah. From behind, he gets hold of the shawl and he pulls the shawl so hard. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I can still picture the marks it made on the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then what he says, Ya Muhammad, murli mimma lillahi alladhi indaka. O Muhammad, you command, you tell these people to give me the wealth that Allah gave you. The wealth Allah gave you, you tell them to give me some of that wealth. What an embarrassing situation. Had it been one of us, someone does this to us, what would have been our response? But the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faltafata ilayh, he turns towards him. أَمَرَ لَهُ بِعَطَائِمْ. He tells the Sahaba, give this man something. But what's in between the two? When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned and he commanded Sahaba, the Rasul of Allah is showing us one secret. The Rawi Anas bin Malik says, فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثُمَّ ضَحِكَ. The Rasul of Allah turned and then he smiled. It was a difficult situation. But if you want to defuse a difficult situation, bring a smile on your face. Abdullah bin Harith bin Jaz radiallahu anhu. The narrators say regarding the Sahabi, قَدْ طَالَ عُمُرُهُ وَعَمِيَ. He lived a very long life. Some say he lived up to his 90s. And he gives a testification. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَكْثَرَ تَبَصُّمًا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. In my entire long lifespan that I lived in this world, I never see anyone smiling more than Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Rasul of Allah said, تَبَصُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ لَكَ صَدَقَ. When you smile at your brother, you're getting reward for that. Which deen will give you reward for smiling? Imagine if we go in the qabr and we realize how much of reward you got just for smiling, wouldn't we be regretting we should have smiled more? So this is the reward. Every time you smile, whether the recipient smiles back or not, makes no difference. You smile at him and see what reward you will be receiving. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. We'll end up on one aspect. Remember, there are two tools that can fix up many problems. Keep these two tools in mind. As we mentioned, the one is silence and the other is smiling. Silence avoids many problems and smiling solves many problems. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to follow every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep us far away from arguing, quarreling, and may Allah restore the relationships between us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.